The government cracks down on oil speculation from 3 years ago.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. When oil prices rise, the first target for blame is often speculators, investors who don't actually need oil. They just want to profit from it. Well, U.S. regulators say they've cracked a big speculation case. The Commodities Futures Trading Commission is suing two oil traders who allegedly pocketed $50 million back in 2008, right before high oil prices helped spark the global recession. Let's get details now from our Washington Bureau Chief, John Dimsdale, who's with us live. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So tell us how this alleged oil speculation scheme worked.
Well, in early 2008, these two traders bought nearly 5 million gallons of oil sitting in Oklahoma. Allegedly, they were trying to send the market a false signal of a shortage. The traders had bet on rising prices, and once oil became more expensive, they then changed their bets to falling prices and suddenly dumped their hoard of oil on the market. And according to the regulators, they went through this cycle twice and were about to do it a third time when investigators came calling.
And why are regulators only moving against this speculation now, 3 years after it happened?
Well, the government says it takes a lot of forensic auditing to figure out what exactly is going on in these fluid markets. Julian Lee at the Center for Global Energy Studies says, of course it would be a more effective deterrent if regulators could crack down more quickly, but
there's a fine line that has to be drawn between trying to determine who is building up inventories of oil because they need it to run their operations and who is doing it purely for speculative purposes.
Now, right now, the Justice Department is looking into reports of speculation in the current tight oil markets, but Lee thinks that these are just isolated cases, not big enough to be the main reason for high prices.
Marketplace's John Dimsdale in Washington. Thanks, John.
You're welcome.
Well, there's some new legislation on the table in the Senate that would limit the amount of money you can borrow from your 401k retirement plan. It was introduced by Republican Mike Enzi and Democrat Herb Kohl, who say there's a $6.6 trillion gap between what Americans have saved for retirement and what they'll need. For more, let's bring in LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, first of all, tell us about this new legislation in Washington.
Well, it's called the Savings Enhancement by Alleviating Leakage in 401k Savings Act.
Good
oh,
name.
My goodness. Yes, indeed. And what it's intended to do is basically make your 401k more of a nest egg and less of a piggy bank. And it does that by reducing the number of loans you can take from your 401k at any one time and then making it less onerous to pay it back so you can stay in the savings game.
And how common is it for people to turn their 401ks into piggy banks?
Well, according to Aon Hewitt, which is an HR firm, in 2010, what we saw was about 28% of 401k participants having an outstanding loan. That's up from 22% in 2005. The average loan out was almost $8,000.
And I assume that you do not think it's a good idea in general to dip into a 401k.
You assume correctly, my friend. Now, look, a 401k is all about the future. It's all about investing in your retirement. The idea that you're going to borrow against it while it might have immediate gratification for you is only robbing your future. It's something you want to be very careful about.
But is there ever a situation when somebody comes to you and says, I'm going to dip into my 401k for this reason, and you say, that's a good idea?
Well, I wouldn't say that's a good idea, but I would say I understand it. For example, let's say you lose your job. You've got to make a mortgage payment. You've got to make a car payment. You've got no other available funds. Well, then, yes, there it is. And you're going to have to do what you got to do. But generally speaking, Americans are bad savers. We need to be better at that game. And we also need to plan more for our retirements because, let's face it, Social Security, pensions, things like that might not be there for you. It's all about what you put into it, and that's what a 401k is.
So you wouldn't say, go ahead and use some of your 401k to buy a house, for example?
Oh, I would not say that at all. I would say leave your 401k alone, and if anything, put more money into it.
LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed across the globe this morning. The Treasury Department sold almost $9 billion of shares in AIG yesterday. That brings the government's stake in the bailed-out insurance giant from 92% down to 77%. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost 25 points to close at 12,356.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. By Novo Nordisk, since 1923, committed to diabetes care and areas of unmet medical needs at NovoNordisk-US.com. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733.
In London today, the gardening industry is gathering for the world's most important annual flower event. But attendees better check the thorns on those roses twice, because it turns out counterfeit roses have become a real problem, the BBC's Leslie Kerwin reports.
Like any good businessman, David Austin saw a gap in the market. 50 years ago, he combined the old English rose with modern roses to create a fuller, more fragrant variety. But to expand abroad, the company needs to place an enormous amount of trust in the growers they license in different countries across the globe. And the number one concern is that they don't illegally clone the company's unique roses. David Austin Jr. is now the managing director of David Austin Roses. He says they have to work hard to protect what is essentially their intellectual property.
We have our own licensing department with people whose full-time job is just inspecting records, inspecting fields all across the globe.
Austin says they've successfully prosecuted growers for counterfeiting their roses, but their biggest challenge is China. They know there are big opportunities there with the ever-growing middle class, but it's also the biggest producer of counterfeit goods, and they'd be taking a huge risk with their special brand. In London, I'm the BBC's Leslie Kerwin for Marketplace.
And finally, to Auckland, New Zealand, where there appears to be a bug infestation problem at the Sky City Casino. But apparently the management there is unwilling to close the 24-hour casino for any length of time to deal with the problem. So members of the staff have started wearing flea collars to avoid getting bitten. And I hope you feel better about your job now. I know I do. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Cigarette rolling shops offer cheaper smokes, but they're not technically cigarette makers, which means they don't technically pay taxes.
They make a profit off of the cigarettes that are being made, and they make a profit off the fact that the cigarettes are being manufactured in their store. To us, that meant that they were in the business of manufacturing cigarettes.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Why the DIY cigarette shop may go up in smoke. The story next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.